It's been said this meeting so far before. I want to say it again. This is the most precious thing we have on earth, where we at this morning, to be at God's house serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to say before I turn to a scripture, some of the experience of this weekend. When we arrived here Thursday night, and Elder Alton come into the stand and preached the grace of God to us, I just thought, this is going to be a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. And it has been. And as Elder Guthrie came following, I just thought, here's a minister that's been preaching a long time, Elder Alton. His experience, his knowledge, and his wisdom, followed by a young brother, Elder Guthrie. The same Lord blessed both. Then the next morning, another elder, 80 years young, Elder Pittman, went before. I don't know how young you are, Sonny, but you're younger than he is. But once again, the blessing of the Lord from an elder that's been around a long time for the wisdom and experience, then followed by Elder Huckabee, a younger one, that the Lord richly blessed. Then yesterday afternoon, I believe it was in the middle of the road, the age of the ministers, that the Lord blessed. Brother Hugh may be over the middle a little bit. But you know, in the blessing of last night, these two young elders, young in years and not too old in the ministry, but we were lifted up above the cares of this world by the blessings of the Lord. It's been a wonderful weekend. I've been especially thankful for this section right over here. Thank God for the young, the teenagers. There's a lot of places you could be on the 4th of July, but you can't be anywhere as good as you are, as good a place as they are right here. And to be here this weekend, and what I observed, even between services, singing, I thank God for this experience in my life that I can see that. One more thing. As they were singing yesterday afternoon, Elder Ivy's little granddaughter was sitting in the floor, clapping her hands. I don't know whether the Lord was touching her or not, but I know He can. I know He can. That's the Lord that I'd like to talk about this morning. You pray for me for the time I'm before you. My Savior died for me. He bled and died for me. His life so perfect and mine so worthless, He bled and died for me. Thank God for Elder Goins' mind to write that song. It's been a blessing in our church since the little hymnals come out. We hardly ever have a song service we don't sing that. It was my request that he lead that this morning, and I appreciate him doing that. It thrills my heart to know my Savior died for me. I appreciate it, what Elder Mark said last night. My Savior is a personal Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior because He died for me. And He died for you. He's your personal Savior. When Elder Goins mentioned to me last night that I was to stand here this morning. I was glad I had a Savior to talk to last night. And I'm thankful that I have that feeling within me that He is my personal Savior. You know, I didn't wake up one morning to say, I'm going to go out and get me a Savior. He came to me first. As Elder Pittman said, I don't know when. There's always been a love of something in my heart. I didn't know what it was. I don't know where I know what it is now or not. I know a little bit more than I did when I was a little boy. But the love of God was shed abroad in my heart a long time ago. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not worthy of it. I haven't lived my life in worthy of it. But I thank God for it. There's a portion of Scripture that I'd like to brief. Elder Mark mentioned it last night. Sir, we would see Jesus. John 12 and 21, that's the last part of that verse. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? These brethren, Greek brethren, wanted to see Jesus. I would like to go into part of the Scriptures where it tells experiences of our forefathers where they wanted to see Jesus, and maybe talk a little bit about how they accomplished that and what was the result. To do that, I'd like to turn to the second chapter of Luke. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the angel came into the shepherds out into the field and told them what had taken place. We will start with the 15th verse of the second chapter of Luke. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. After the angels proclaimed to them what had happened, they wanted to see. When Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, came into your heart, did you want to see who Jesus was? You felt Him in your heart? I wanted to see who He was. We can't see Him naturally like these shepherds did, but we can see Him through our eye of faith. Children of God, I believe He has been present in this meeting. I believe we have saw Him with our eyes, we have heard Him with our ears, we have felt Him with our hearts this weekend. These shepherds, they went to see this Jesus. You know, I like how they arranged this. And they came with haste. They were anxious. They wanted to see Jesus. I think that's how a child of God ought to be in his life. He ought to be anxious to go out to the house of the Lord. Ellen Montgomery said, now he wants to go to the church. He's anxious to get there. That's the way I feel. I'm anxious to go out to the house of the Lord, because when I go out to the house of the Lord, when I came from Jackson, Tennessee, to come to Dallas, Texas, I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to see the manifestation of His love in His people. And I have saw that abundantly this weekend, and I have felt it. It's been wonderful. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, when they had saw their Savior, what did they do? They went home and was quiet about it. That ain't the way it is. When they had seen it, they made known abroad and saying, which was told them concerning this child. They went out and witnessed for the Lord and Savior. He was just a little baby, but they went out and broadcasted it out over the land. And I believe we as children of God ought to let people know who Jesus is. We ought to let people know who this personal Savior is. We ought to let people know while we at Dallas, Texas, in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while we are here, let our neighbors know, let our children know, let our parents know. They went with haste. And when they saw Him, they wanted to tell people about it. About 8 days later, when they were carrying Jesus up to be circumcised, there was a Simeon And the Spirit of the Lord had told him that he would see. The Lord Christ, before he left this earth. This amazes me how this took place. Let's read the starting with the 27th verse. We're skipping some of these for time's sake. You know the story. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him as the custom of the law, then took he into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon wanted to see his Savior. You know, I follow that a lot. A little baby, 8 days old, Simeon knew by the Holy Spirit that that was his Savior. He wanted to see his Savior before he died. And once he saw that Savior, he's ready to go. How about you? You know, some of this preaching this weekend, I was ready to go. I believe that. I felt like I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to see that one that could bless us as collective as it was. I was ready to see Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul said, it's better that I have a desire to go, but it's better that I stay. That's not the right quotation, but it's the essence of it. He wanted to go to the feast with his Lord. He wanted to see Jesus. But he also wanted to stay and preach Jesus to the waiting people. You know, when Simeon saw the baby, the sisters are not left out. Anna, at the same place, wanted to see this Jesus. And she saw Jesus. Now listen to what... This is another lesson that I believe for the sisters. 38th verse of the second chapter of Luke. And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She witnessed to all around Jerusalem what she had saw. She had saw the Christ Jesus. So, sisters of the church, you have a place just as much as the brethren, other than this place. But to tell God's people, to witness for this Jesus. She wanted to see Jesus, and you want to see Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Another example that, you know, the brother Tim said last night, there are stories, and they're here for us today. The woman with the issue of blood, she wanted to see Jesus. She not only wanted to see Jesus, she wanted to touch Jesus. So she, this is another example that I like. She worked through the crowd. She made an effort to see Jesus. Let us, as children of God, make that extra effort to see Jesus. And when she saw Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. By faith, she touched that garment. And he made the statement, somebody touched me. And the disciples ran about him and said, they're all around you. A lot of people touched you. But he said, virtue has went out of my body. He knew. Then she was before him. And he blessed her and said, go. Your sins are forgiven. That's not the... Let me read that. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Because she wanted to see Jesus. And she was blessed to see Jesus. We are blessed today when we come out to the house of the Lord, when we come out with a prayer in our heart that we are coming out to serve this Jesus that we want to see. There's story after story of the ones that wanted to see Jesus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus. And he was a little man. He heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho. He wanted to see Jesus. And he made a special effort, more than I probably would do, more than that I do from time to time. There was a crowd about. He couldn't see over the crowd. He climbed up a sycamore tree where he could look down on it, where he could see his Savior, where he could see this Jesus. Have you ever wanted to climb your sycamore tree to see Jesus? You know, when Jesus passed by, he looked up, said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to dwell with you tonight." What a wonderful blessing Zacchaeus received by making this effort to go climb up a tree where he could see Jesus. Jesus dwelt with him that night. So see, children of God, if we as children of God want to see Jesus, and we make that effort to go see Jesus, there's always a blessing there. A blessing for us, for the children of God, as it was for the woman with the issue of blood, as it was for Zacchaeus, as it was for the shepherds abiding in the field. All of them received that blessing. Simeon received that blessing. All these is a blessing telling us that we, when we want to see Jesus, when we make that effort to go see Jesus, to worship Him, that the blessing is there, that the Holy Spirit comes down and fills our heart with love, joy, and peace. Because Jesus is the one that we want to see. Jesus is the one that gives us all of those attributes that we need in our everyday lives. You know, once Jesus went to the cross, was buried and put in Joseph's new tomb, Mary Magdalene and Mary, they wanted to see Jesus. They went to the tomb early on that morning to see their Savior. They wanted to see Jesus. They were going to anoint His body. So they went to the tomb. This is in the 28th chapter of Matthew. They went to see Jesus. They were disappointed at first. They didn't see Jesus. But they saw something far greater than Jesus. They saw something that is blessing to us today. The grave could not hold Him. They saw the empty tomb. The angels was there, told them, "Are you looking?" I'm going to paraphrase. "You're looking for this man Jesus. He's not here. He is risen." So they went looking for Jesus, and they saw where He had been. And they went and told the apostles what had happened. They made that effort to go early in the morning because they wanted to see their Savior. In the first chapter of Acts, when Jesus had come out of the grave, walked on this earth, showed the disciples and the apostles what He had accomplished, and taught them some 40 days. Listen to the Acts 1 and 9. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.'" They saw their Savior ascend into heaven, out of their sight, in the clouds. But they heard a voice said, "He's coming again. He's coming again." Children of God, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to see. It would be fine with me if He'd come right now. This Jesus that went away into the clouds, He's coming back for His people, for His church. This same Jesus that went away is coming in like manner. Are you looking for Him? Are you yearning for Him? Or do you want Him? Would you like for Him to come today? You say, no, I got a lot of living to do. We have. But there'll be a lot of living with Him in heaven and immortal glory itself. Because He's coming back for His. But until He does come back, children of God, look for Him. When do you look for Him? On Sunday morning. When do you look for Him? On Monday morning. We, as this natural flesh of ours, most of the time we wait till we get out in the valley to look for Him. Let's don't wait till we get out in the valley. Let's look for Him every day. The valleys are going to come. Sad aches are going to come. Trials and tribulations are going to come. That's when we want to look for Him. And we should. Because He said, cast all your cares on Him, or cast all your cares on Me, because He cares for you. Look for Jesus. Are you looking for Him? Do you want to see Him? When you left home this morning to come out to this service, did you come out here to see each other? I hope you did, for sweet fellowship. But what's the main reason you were here? You come out to see the manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ, what He's done for His people. You come out to hear about this Savior that we want to see, and we can see by our faith. You know, we all have had the experiences in our lives when we had to depend on Him. We've all had these down times when we so low say, Lord, I can't go any farther. Then we want to see Jesus. If you want to see Jesus at that time, get out on your knees and talk to Him. Do you know where He's at? It was been told in this meeting. He's down at the right hand of God, making intercessions for you and for me. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have talked to Him last night. But when we talk to our Father, we go through Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because He shed His blood and laid His life down on the tree of the cross for you and for me. And for that reason, that's enough reason that we want to see Him, what He has done for us eternally. But I like to think of what He's doing for us right now, right today. He lives in our life. We should have our wants ought to be the wants of what Christ wants. Our thoughts ought to be the thoughts of Christ, Christ would want us to think. It's not easy. Temptations of life are out there. Troubles are out there. But Jesus has overcome all of those. And children of God, when you go out to the cemetery to lay that loved one in the tomb, we did that last Saturday, one of our members. And I told the family, this is not a bad place. Why? My Savior came out of that tomb, came out of His tomb. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's the Jesus that we want to see. That's the Jesus that we want to worship. That's the Jesus that we want to live by while we live, while we sojourn here. That's the Jesus that we want to drive from place to place to meet with God's people in God's house, worshiping Him, that Jesus, to see Him there blessing His people. It's a marvelous wonder to me that He can be in this church today and He can be in our church in Tennessee at the same time. That's the God. That's the Jesus that we want to worship. That's the Jesus that we call on. That's the Jesus that when we go to the grave, think of that. You know, when you go into that grave, it's been mentioned here, there's no time with God. They go to sleep, then they wake up in the morning of the resurrection to be with Him and be there forever. So we're looking. I want to see Jesus coming in the clouds. But if I'm in the grave, when He speaks that voice, I'm going to come out of that grave. He's got the power to do it. He's got the want to do it. He's got the will to do it. And He does it. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, come to see us in Tennessee and pray for us.
I want to see you.